Luke 18. Amen. What a week, huh?
Yes, sir.
A lot of digesting need to go on what we got, right? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So many needs to be met. Luke 18, verse 18. He said, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute to the poor, unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? Father, we ask you to bless now. God, do something mighty today for thy glory and for thy honor. Thank you for the message and the singing and the preaching and everything else that's going on this week, God. Please don't let the devil steal the seed. Please change lives forever in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a simple message this morning. Amen. And I'll call your attention to verse 22. It says, yet thou lackest one thing. Yet thou lackest one thing. We've heard great preaching. We've heard on all kinds of different topics this week. And maybe God hasn't dealt with your specific need. What are you lacking today? Amen? Are you lacking faith? Amen? Are you lacking faith to trust God and step out of the boat and walk on the word, not the water? Right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Peter stepped out of the boat when Jesus said, come on to me.
Right.
Amen. And he was able to walk on the water. You know what we need? We need faith. Over there in Luke 17. Amen. Let's look at what he said in Luke 17. Luke 17. He says, verse 3, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, what? Rebuke him. We like that part, don't we? If we repent, what? Forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day. Now, wait a minute. Seven times in a day? There's no way you can come back to me and ask me seven times the same offense. You obviously did not repent. You obviously didn't get it right. You obviously didn't mean it. You obviously didn't come from your heart. You're a hypocrite. Well, you know what Jesus said? Forgive him.
Right.
If he comes seven times, maybe he's just a slow learner. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Maybe somebody just don't have the character to do right and they offend you.
Yeah.
Look what he says. Got to find my place. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times a day, turn again to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said on him, Lord, increase my faith. You know why you're here this week? To get your faith increased. You know what's going to happen to every one of you? There's going to be bad people, pesky people, troubling people enter into your life. Amen? And they're going to rub you wrong, man. You're going to get spiritual blisters all over you. Amen? But God wants to give you calluses to toughen you up and make you tough to be able to face a hard, tough world out there. But you know what you're going to need? You're going to need faith. But you know what it takes? It takes somebody to admit, God, I don't have faith. I need faith. I need something from you. I'm lacking real Holy Ghost Bible faith. I'm not talking about salvation. Because you got to walk by faith as a Christian. Amen? And it takes faith to do what God told you to do. And it takes faith for you to stand up and have guts to street preach or witness or go tell somebody else about Christ. It takes faith to do what God said.
Right.
And the reason why a lot of people don't do what God said is because they ain't got the faith.
Right.
Amen. The average person turns around and ain't got faith to give 10%.
Right.
Hello? I've had people tell me they can't do it. I said, well, what about 5? You know, when they can't do 10, they do 0. Right? Well, why don't you step out in faith and do 5%?
Amen.
Why don't you do 7% and grow up to 10?
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And then God will grow you, and then it'll be tithes and offerings.
Amen.
And then you'll start supporting missionaries and taking them on by faith. And next thing you know, it's 10%, it's 15%. Next thing you know, it's 20, maybe 25. There have been some men in this world that's gone up to 90%.
That's right.
Say, God, I'll live at the 10. Amen. That's faith. And you know what? When them bills come in and your trouble comes in and you got to sit back and you go, it's groceries or it's tithes and missions. I guess I'll have to fast this week, Lord. I'm putting the money into place.
That's right.
And you skip lunch. You say, I can't do that. I can't skip my coffee. See, you got a need there you don't understand, do you? You think you need coffee. You think you need Pepsi. You think you need Coca-Cola. You think you need candy. Listen, you need God. Amen. And maybe we ought to push away from the table. Give up our chicken. Give up our hamburgers and give all that stuff up and learn to fast for a few days. Listen, we need God more than we need anything else.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. What are you lacking today? Some people lack God. Some people lack salvation. Some people lack faith. Let's turn to James. James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. I got another message I wanted to preach here today, but I'm not going to, but I'll just hint at it. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. How many people like that? Huh?
Yeah.
Amen. Look at what it says. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We can forget that, right? You know what? If you got faith, it's going to be tried, young people.
Right.
You make some decisions this week, God's going to test you out on it. And not only is God going to test you out on it, but the devil's seen what you prayed, and the devil knows what you're crying out for, and the devil's going to try to stop you from living for God. And whatever you've earned this week in God, and whatever you've grown this week in God, the devil's going to come and try to knock you down and knock you out.
Right?
Right? You know what you're going to need? You're going to need faith. You know what that means? You're going to be going through some trials.
Right.
Amen. Why? Because God wants to give you something there. What's He want to give you? What you want to give you? Patience. You know what He says in Hebrews 10:36? Ye have need of patience. I don't know a man in here that don't need a couple doses of that.
That's right.
Amen? I need patience. You know what bothers me, Miss Linda? I'm driving down the road, and these little old ladies pull out in front of me, doing 25 mile an hour, 45 mile an hour zone. Oh, man, and I'm late. Oh, man, I get yanked. Amen? And you know what my wife tells me when I get in the car? See, you preach, you need patience. There you go. God's just teaching you patience. I said, why don't you just shut up?
Amen.
Amen. Ain't nothing like your wife. Just remind me. She's a help that's right for me, meet for me. Amen.
Yeah.
Hello. Amen. You have need of patience. You know what God does? God brings troublesome people in your life. He brings trials in your life. He brings tribulation in your life. Why? To teach you patience. You want help today? That thing that you lack, God wants to do something special for you. You need to embrace tribulations. I didn't get an amen on that. You need to embrace it.
You're right.
Amen. You need to say, thank you, Lord, for the troublesome person. Lord, you brought somebody in my life, really, to teach me how to pray.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, that person annoys me. They rub me wrong. They do me wrong. God, why'd you put me around that person? Because you won't look in the mirror long enough to see what you are. So I want somebody in your face so you can see how you are.
Right.
Amen.
It's worth it.
Listen, God works on us through people. And He brings troubled people in our life. Number one, maybe to help them. But number two, to help us.
Right.
And maybe to teach us how to pray for somebody that's really got a need. But we got to have to learn to have patience. I was showing Brother Williams the other day the work that I do. Brother Taylor's been in that shop. Brother Cobb's been in that shop. I make precision gauging instruments Amen. And you got a whole tent, and you got to sit there and grind. I've ground almost millions of parts. Amen. And it's very tedious work. I mean, I got one probe I do. I got to put a 1,000th radio on it, and I got to file it on there by hand, and it's got to be held within 2/10. And I do tons of them. I had to do 60 of them before I even came here. And it'll try your patience. You know what I learned? I had to embrace it. I hate it. I like hard work. I'm a block layer son. I like mixing cement, doing all that stuff. That hard physical stuff, God said, you go sit in a chair, and I'm going to work on you while you're working on it. It's going to grind you while I'm grinding it.
That's right.
Because I got all kinds of rough edges. You know what I found out about them 5 smooth stones in that brook? Amen. The Bible says water wears the stones.
Yeah.
And we got a bunch of rough edges on us, and God puts us in that brook, and He allows that water, and He allows us to tumble in that brook and knock off them hard edges and tough edges, and He just lets us go through that brook and let that water just tumble us and tumble us and tumble us, because maybe just one day David will come by and reach his hand down in that brook and grab a couple stones, throw you in his bag, because maybe there's a giant to take out. But you know what you got to do? You got to stay in that stream. Amen? And you got to let that water wear you. You know what we don't like? We don't like our flesh being ground down. Tribulation works patience. He said, glory in tribulations. Have you ever done that? He said, when you're rebuked and reviled, rejoice. Watch this. Look what it says. Knowing this, trying of your faith, work with patience, and let patience what? Have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. How many people got a problem with covetousness today? You let tribulation do its job, and you be patient, you can get to where you want nothing. Can I give you another cure for covetousness this morning? Psalm 23, verse 1 said, the Lord is my shepherd, I what? Oh boy, how come it's not all you need? You know, if Christ becomes all you need, you won't need all that junk they're trying to advertise and sell you on television and on internet and YouTube and all that other kind of stuff and all those mail flyers in there. All those advertisements do is try to create a desire in you to buy something you don't need, to spend your money. And the problem with people and why they're in debt, why they're in trouble, amen, you say, I need money. That's what I'm lacking today. I need money. Well, quit spending. The problem that people have out there is their outgoes more than their income. And they don't know how to shut the faucet off. They don't know how to quit spending and buying. Amen. And they don't know how to manage their money. They lack self-control.
Come on. Uh-oh.
They can't say no to the world.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I challenge you. Get you a $100 bill and go walk through the store. Walk out and not spend a thing. Spend 3 hours walking around with a $100 bill and don't spend nothing. Your flesh is going to see every little thing you want. And hey, go to the store you really like. Like the, you know, you guys like hunting and fishing? Go look at all that stuff. Look at that gun that's on sale you always been wanting to be able to walk out the store and not buy it. Just tell your flesh, no, we ain't doing it. Amen. Your flesh don't like no.
That's right.
Amen. But you know what you got to do? Listen, you got to be able to say no. We got problems. I'm lacking control. You got to be able to say no. Cut your credit card up. You know what Clark Howard said? Who's Clark Howard? Some financial guy. He said, put your credit card in a freezer bag full of water and put it in there and freeze it. And so before you can go make a stupid decision, you turn around, you got to at least thaw it out before you can use it. People's out of control. They just spend.
Right.
And then you know what they do? All through Christmas season, they tell you got to go out and buy, and buy all this stuff for everybody. And then you know what you got to do after that? Then you got to go rent a store lock and put all the junk in that you got, amen, that you don't need.
Right.
The average person, I mean, if they open up their closet, it'd vomit on them. Just come right out. Why? They got all this stuff they don't need. And listen, we know people, you go by their houses, their garages are so stuffed they can't put the car in it. It's so packed. Why? They got junk they don't need. But they can't give to missions and they can't support God. Right. Boy, they can buy storm locks and they can hoard and put all this stuff everywhere. Amen. And the women turn around, they got to have knick-knack after knick-knack after knick-knack after knick-knack.
Right.
And they don't need that junk.
Right.
Amen. But they're covetous. Verse 5. If any of you lack what? Amen. Listen, I wasn't dealt a full deck. I'm a few fries shy of a Happy Meal. Amen. Amen. I'm a few shy as a brick, a few bricks shy of a full load. But I tell you one thing, I'm on the level, the bubble's in the middle. Amen. Just if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given on him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know what I lack? I lack wisdom. Amen. I don't have a full deck, folks. And I need God's mind. And you know what the Bible said, 1 Corinthians 10, number 2? I had the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And so when I'm praying, I sit back and I go, God, I need your mind. And I said, wait. I got your mind. I just need to know how to appropriate it and use it. Help me to be able to use your mind and think the way you want me to think. Help me to walk and think like the Spirit wants me to think, God. I need wisdom. Amen. We need wisdom. You need wisdom?
Yes.
Amen. You know what else I need? I need understanding.
Amen.
You know what young people don't lack? I'm not trying to be ugly too. You need wisdom or understanding. You know what your mom and daddy know that you don't know? You know what your preacher knows that you don't know? Listen, knowledge is facts. Yes. Wisdom is know how to use those facts.
Right.
Understanding is knowing how it's going to turn out. I understand now what my daddy was trying to teach me years ago, but I only learned that through experience.
Right.
Young people don't understand. Amen? And so what you know what you got to do? You got to trust your preacher. You got to trust your mom and daddy that they know what they're talking about.
Amen.
And when they say that's a bad boy, you better listen to them.
Amen.
When they say that's a bad girl, you better listen to them. Amen? When you hear me and say, hey, that guy's trouble, you better listen to him. I don't want you running with them boys because they're going to get you in trouble.
Yes.
I'm telling you. Amen. I know. I run with them bad boys that got in trouble. Hello?
Right.
I run with them bad girls. I got in trouble.
Yep.
I thought my dad was the dumbest man in the world. When I got saved, the dumbest man in the world became the smartest man in the world.
Man.
And ever since then, I've realized that old man had things. He was smarter than I ever gave credit for. And I'm amazed at some of the things, and I'm implementing things that my dad told me, and I'm implementing them into my son. Amen? Listen, people think their parents are dumb. You know what they do? You know what the most important thing is to a 13-year-old? The opinion of another 13-year-old. That's the wrong place to get understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, I'm telling you. Amen? You need to get around God. You need God. You need God's men. You need something from God. What are you lacking today? You lacking power? I lack the power of God. Listen, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm lacking the power of God. I beg God for the power of God. Don't you? Amen. I need God's power. Brother John, can I say this humbly and honestly? I need the power to be able to persuade me.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm called to preach. I can preach, but I'm not doing too good of a job of persuading men.
Yeah.
I need God's power.
Yes.
Right? 2 Corinthians 5:10. Right? Talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Know that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Right? He said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I need the power to be able to persuade men. But I want to show you something here. We'll get to the message here in a minute. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, according to his divine power, hath he given unto us what? All things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called you unto glory and virtue. Now let me ask you a question. What do you like? What did it just say? It said you got all things. If you got Christ, you got all things. Right? That pertain unto life and godliness. So what's your excuse? Why won't you live godly? You got it. You got the grace of God? The Bible said the grace of God appeared unto all men. Teaching us tonight what? Ungodliness. You know, it's an amazing thing. A lot of people make a profession of faith, and then you never see any ungodliness leave. Come on, don't I know? When I got saved, the Holy Ghost moved in. He had a shovel and a broom. Amen. And he began to sweep my house out, and junk began to leave. And he came in and cleaned me up.
Right.
A lot of people that sin, I said, where's the Holy Ghost? How come he told me things are wrong in my life, but they ain't wrong in yours? That's confusion, man. You understand? I got all things pertaining unto life and godliness. How? Through the divine nature. People ain't getting the divine nature, are they?
No.
You got everything you need when you got saved, equipped to live this Christian life through the Holy Ghost. And Christians make excuses. Well, I can't do it. Well, I lack this. I lack that. God said right there, you got everything that pertain to life and godliness. You know, if we don't do it, we don't believe it. So you know what you need? You need faith. You need to believe what God said. Young people, there ain't no reason why you can't stand out in a public high school. Amen. If you're in public high school, I hope you're not. But if you are, you got all things pertaining to life and godliness.
Amen.
And God will give you the power to say no. Let him make fun of you. And then rejoice.
Oh, well.
Amen. I know two beautiful girls. And I'm not being ugly about what I'm about to say. But I know two beautiful girls, and you probably know them. Brother Taylor probably knows them. Amen. That they wound up going to Troutwood City Schools. All black schools, two white girls. And they survived and came out of it pure as a driven snow.
Amen.
But other girls, they get intimidated and they turn around and they wind up giving birth to half breed babies.
That's right.
Amen. Because they're intimidated. You know what they do? And I'm not trying to be ugly. You ain't prejudiced, are you? Then you go out with me Friday night, don't you? And so you want to show that you're not prejudiced because black lives matter. Hello?
Come on.
I ain't getting no amens on this. I'm telling you what they do.
You're right. Rich.
And they use race against you.
That's right.
And they'll rob you of your purity. And they'll leave you of a little welfare baby.
Yeah.
And they don't care. And they're gone. Field kid preached a curse on our nation is all these unwed mothers.
Right.
Amen.
Some boy comes in and whispers something into their ear. I'm telling you.
Right there.
You got all that it takes to live godly in this life if you're saved.
Right.
And if you don't think you got it, then you ought to hit the altar and say, God, I need what this preacher's preaching about that divine nature. I want to stand for you. I want to live for you. I want to do right. And you said I got all things pertaining to life and godliness. And God, I want the fullness of the Spirit of God. Next, look at what it says. Whereby are given unto us great exceeding precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of what? The divine nature. You got divine power, you got divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world high through lust. We heard yesterday Brother Clayton talking about the love of money, which drowned men in destruction and perdition. Why? Because they lust after those things. This world, the number one thing is the love of money. I had a preacher call me one time and said, why don't you come preach on revival? One day revival. I don't know what you preach on one day revival. You know what I preached? 1 Timothy 6:10.
Amen.
What? The love of money is the root of all evil. I said, I nailed it all right there. Boom. All evil. Covetousness. Paul said, I had no sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Amen. What do you want for Christmas? Covetousness. What do you want? 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 You know what it is? Cobb talked about it last night. Idolatry. Hello? You got to escape the lust. Verse 5, watch it. Young people, watch this. Besides this, giving diligence, add to your faith. Just getting faith ain't enough. You got to add to it. You know why so many people mess up? You know why so many people fall out? They quit adding to their faith. That's why you got to have a daily devotion. That's why you got to spend time in the Bible. That's why you can't miss every church service like the preacher said last night. That's why you got to have a prayer closet to get a hold of God. That's why you need to do right. You got to add to your faith. What do you got to add to your faith? Virtue. What's virtue? That's moral excellence.
Yep.
Amen. Moral excellence.
Right.
Well, see, you watch TikTok and all that other kind of junk. Right. You're gonna throw all your morals out the window.
Right. Yeah.
You know what our world is? It ain't immoral. It's amoral. No morals anymore.
Good.
Wonder what's wrong with Christianity. They're not adding virtue. What's wrong with that? They're not adding knowledge. Look at it. And the knowledge what? Temperance. Now you can say whatever you want to say about temperance, but when I look at temperance, it's not self-control like the NIV says. I believe it's a balance.
Right.
It's the ability to be able to say no. Right? The Bible said, he that striveth lawfully, 1 Corinthians 19 or 9, says is temperate in all things. He has ability to govern his affairs, amen, and be able to say no. He's got a balance. He puts his priorities where they belong. First things first. But you know what? When the flesh controls you and the world controls you, you won't be able to put your priorities straight and do right. God won't be first, the world will be first, or you'll be first, or something else will be first, amen, instead of God being first. Temperance, get your priorities straight. Patience. Oh, there we go again. Patience what? Godliness. And godliness what? Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor what? Unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see it far off and hath forgotten that he's purged from his old sins. You can get to the place where you backslide we heard about last night.
Yep.
Where you can't even remember how and what Christ did for you when you trusted him because you did not add to your faith. And so we get retreadism going on, and people get retreaded and retreaded and retreaded because they make a profession of faith and then they turn around and they never get in, they never add to their faith because they're lacking what God wants them to have. I challenge you, don't eat for 40 days and tell me how you're doing nutritionally. You can't go, amen, without that book. You can't go with a daily walk without God. That's your spiritual nutrition. You got to esteem them words more than your necessary food. That is your life. Dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives.
Amen.
You got to add to your faith. People ain't adding to their faith. They're not growing. Listen, Brother John can preach all day long, but he can't force feed you the Bible every day of your life. He can't walk and live your Christianity for you. It's a personal walk, a personal relationship.
Hey, that's right.
What are you lacking today? The fruit of the Holy Ghost? You lacking the mind of Christ? You lacking spiritual things? You lacking love for souls? You lacking the burden to help people? You lacking compassion? Look at verse 10. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make a call and election what? Sure. Amen. If you do these things, you shall never what? You want to know why so many Christians fall? They don't do that.
That's right.
Because they didn't realize what they were lacking. Amen. Do you need vitamin C? Do you need vitamin D? Do you need vitamin E? Yeah, you talk to Dr. Joe Wallach, you need 90 essential minerals and vitamins, amen, daily. You're not going to get it from your food. But you know what people won't do? They won't supplement. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We eat junk food all the time.
Right.
And Christians are involved in spiritual junk food left and right, and they ain't growing spiritually. Right. And they ain't got no time to grow for God because they're filled with the junk of this world.
Amen.
And you get a diet in this stinking world, man, you're not going to grow spiritually. And sooner or later, you're going to fall. Sooner or later, you're going to be so far out, you won't even remember what Jesus Christ ever did for you.
Yeah.
So what are you trying to say, preacher? Whatever you got this week, you got to cultivate it. You got to water it. You got to grow it. You got to pull the weeds constantly, and they grow twice as fast as the vegetables.
Amen.
But Christians get lazy and they won't weed the garden. That's what this preaching's about, is to come in and pull the stinking weeds. You need peace today. You need patience. You need joy. You need mercy. Hey, young people, you need friends. Hey, old people, you need friends?
Come on.
Nobody ever, you know, listen. Can I help you? I'm not trying to be mean. I had a guy leave my church over this. He had clinical depression. He was raised bad, his mom treated him bad, had him on drugs and all the other kind of stuff. And he was on depression medicine. But I made a comment about the reason why people are depressed is all they think about is themselves.
There you go.
Come on.
Yeah. And people sit around and say, I ain't got no friends, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me. Nobody will come over, nobody will ever call me, nobody ever write me, nobody wants to go somewhere with me.
That's right. That's right.
And they're sitting around sucking their thumb. But according to Proverbs 18:24, he that hath friends, he that hath, present tense, must show himself friendly. You say, what's that mean? You got to have a friend. And then that verse is teaching you not how to find friends, but to maintain that relationship with your friends.
Right.
Your friendships need maintenance.
Right.
Amen? Everything in life needs maintenance.
Yeah.
But what we got to do is maintain relationships. Amen? And you got a friend, you better take care of him. It's not there for you and far between.
Sir.
I know an old preacher said if you die and you count five on your hand, he said you're a rich man, a successful man, if you can count five real friends.
All right.
Man.
We had a man that went to our church of charity years ago. He got saved. A man led him to Christ. That man began to disciple him. And while he was discipling him, he stole his wife. Ain't that a good friend? Better be careful who your friends are.
Right.
You would think the man that led you to the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't steal your wife, would you? You better be careful. You better pray. You better ask God to give you some good friends.
Right.
I got some good friends in this room. Tom, Ireland, Brother Taylor, we've been friends for years and years and years. And I'm making new friends in here. Amen?
Amen.
I bet you if I called Brother Bruce right now, he'd come drive all the way to Dayton. I believe Brother Taylor did. I believe Brother Cobb did. Amen. We cultivate that relationship. Amen.
Right.
I can't even begin to tell you how good of friends they are. You got to get some good friends. Right. But can I tell you this? If you can't find one, listen, I went and started a little old church. And I tried to win a bunch of church people. We don't have a lot of young people. Amen. I'm against easy believism, but I'm against hard believism too.
Amen.
Right. I'm medium believism. Amen. If both sides kick me, I feel I'm in about the right place. I believe in repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Acts 20:21, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And I preach hard on repentance. And I preach hard on sin. Man, a whole lot of people want to come around and listen to my preaching. And my kids were the only ones in our youth department.
Mm.
And you know what? They didn't have a whole lot of friends. And we started late. My wife had my son at 40. Amen. And so in evangelism, we'd go around. And the Taylors would be my kids' friends. And Cobb would be my kids' friends. And Brother Ireland would be my kids' friends. And all these preachers my kids' friends. They got a few here and there. But you know what? They learned how to stand. Amen.
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 Right.
I didn't let them get out in the world and do all that junk.
Amen.
And we weren't bringing the world in so they could live like hellions.
Right. Right.
And I was telling Brother Williams the other day, there's a man that came to my church and he said, I got to leave. I'm going to go to this other church over here. They got a great youth department. 4 years later, he told me, he said, that's where I lost my kids, in that youth department.
Right.
You better be careful who your friends are.
Amen.
But the Bible said there is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother.
Amen. Amen.
You better learn to get the Lord Jesus Christ as your best friend. My wife's best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when somebody gets up, sings songs, and mentions he's my best friend, her hand just automatically flies right up.
Hey.
Amen.
Hey.
And I told her when I got married to her, I said, you'll never be number one. You understand? I said, he'll always be number one. She said, as long as I'm number two. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ got to be everything to you. But the problem is, people just want to punch a ticket to hell. They want to get a fire escape, but they're never interested in heaven. friend, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I lean on this verse. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain what?
Mercy.
You lacking mercy today? You know the average person, listen, I lack mercy, amen. I do, I want God's mercy on me. I want it so bad, right? Amen. Mercy's not getting what you deserve. Thank God, I love mercy. I deserve to be in hell right now. Amen, I come close to dying twice, 6 months before I got saved. It's an amazing grace of God that I'm not in hell. Amen. I almost got electrocuted. Had a box blow up my face. It would cut the screwdriver in half, burnt my eyes. Amen. I was standing in water. I should be in hell. I should have been electrocuted. But God saved me 6 months later. Amen. What a blessing. I'm living on mercy. I love grace. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Amen. But you know what it's hard to do? It's hard to show somebody the same mercy that God showed you. Especially when they do you wrong. Amen. I got a pistol. I was a nice guy. I didn't carry it in here today. Amen. And I think about that thing. And I don't know if I'm going to be merciful. I don't want to kill nobody. I don't want to murder nobody. But I want to protect my wife. I want to protect my grandmother. Amen.
Amen.
Man, but I'm telling you. But I think about the Muslims, and I think about all that other kind of stuff, and people burning down the cities and doing all that stuff. I just want to go. Let's start all over. Amen. But you got to sit back. You got to get that flesh in control. You got to get that American spirit in control and sit back and say, God, you died for them. You shed your blood for them. They're heathen. They're infidels. They're lost. They're undone. God, help me to be able to think right. Get this thing right.
Amen.
That I can have mercy on them.
Yeah.
I get carnal. I watch some TV shows and court cam shows and things like that. And when a man is standing there facing the man that murdered his daughter, and the horrible, horrific things that he did, he looks at him and he says, sir, I'm a Christian. And I forgive you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whew.
Yes, sir.
That guy got something. I need him. Because a bunch of them other shows, man, these people are, their cops are pulling them off and dragging them out of there. They're wanting to thump them and hit them. I don't know what I'd do. I don't want to find out, and I ain't going to say. That guy had something down on the inside. You know what even convicted me more than that? There was a Muslim woman, her son was killed. And she said, my religion tells me to forgive you. And I go, my. I told my wife, I said, I wonder how many Christians could have what that lost Muslim had. When it comes to forgiving and having mercy. Listen, I lack mercy, man. I need mercy. Amen. I need to be merciful. David talked about having God's loving kindness. You got loving kindness? Can you pity people the way they're supposed to? Can you be courteous the way God said to you? What are you lacking today? Look at what it says. Obtain mercy to find grace to what? Help. You know what I need? I need help. You know what I need? I need the help of God. You know what I've been praying all night? God, help me. I need help. To help your people. To help these young people to be able to go on down the road. And as they're living their daily life, God, that they can know how they can come to you and get help. You need the help of God every day.
Amen.
You need to learn how to cultivate that. You need to learn how to hit that altar, find that throne, and get to that throne and say, God, I need help. I need strength. I need power. I need peace. God, I need you. Give me the grace to help. I'll just cut it short and get to the message. 1 Thessalonians 3. That was by way of introduction.
I hear you.
You know what you're lacking today? What are you lacking? You know, your preacher might have a hint. What if you went to him and said, "Preacher, what am I lacking? I'm blind. Help me to see." You afraid of what he's going to tell you? Listen, I don't know John Asquith that much, but I'll tell you this one thing I think I do know about him. He's not going to tell you what you want to hear.
Right. Amen.
He's going to tell you what you need to hear.
Yes, sir.
What kind of preacher do you want? Want to tell you what you want to hear or what you need to hear?
Come on now.
2 Timothy 4 tells you the preachers that tell you what you need to hear or want to hear after your own lust. They don't want to hear the preacher who tell them what they need to hear. Look them in their God-given eyeballs and tell them. Amen. Look what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse 10. Night and what?
Day.
Praying what? Exceedingly. That we might see your face and might what?
Perfect.
That means complete. That which is what?
Lacking
in your faith. Now, here's the message. You can't see what's lacking in your faith. Maybe. Maybe you do not. Maybe you wrestle with it. Maybe you do pray. But I guarantee you there's people in the church that knows what's lacking in your faith. Everybody knows what's wrong with everybody else. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows what's wrong with Sister So-and-so. We all know what she needs. She's just so blind she can't see herself. Hello?
Yeah.
Huh? And brother so-and-so, we know he's calling, man. I mean, he's got this issue. I mean, I don't know why his wife just don't straighten him out. I mean, he's, you know, we know what brother so-and-so's got. He's proud, he's arrogant, he needs humility. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
We know what other people need. We can see what other people are lacking in their faith. We got the secret. We know. We got the Holy Ghost. We got God's mind on that. I know what you're missing, brother. I'm an experienced preacher. I know what you're missing. You understand?
Yeah.
So what's the secret? Night and day, pray what? Exceedingly. Do you pray exceedingly for the brothers and sisters in your church, the family members that you have, that they might have their faith perfected? We know what's wrong in their faith. You know what it means to pray exceedingly? Not just pray. Thank you for that song this morning. You led right into this. It means to put in overtime. Exceed. I don't know what your limit of prayer is. 10 minutes? 5 minutes? We don't sing Sweet Hour of Prayer because most people don't ever pray now. Sweet minute of prayer. Sweet minute of prayer. I'm too busy to give up a moment to even care. Amen. Right?
Come on, brother.
How many people do you think's here this morning? 60? Let's just say 60. Think about it. He's praying night and day. Exceedingly. He's putting in overtime. If I was to offer you $30 an hour to work Sunday, would you take it? Putting in overtime. Well, honey, we got to pay the bills. I got a shop that I want to buy. We got no problem putting in overtime at work, but we won't put overtime in prayer. We won't do what we're supposed to do in our daily duty and prayer, let alone put in overtime, and we want to know why our churches are in trouble. Because we don't pray exceedingly for what's lacking in people's faith. We get on the phone and gossip and talk about it.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Putting in overtime for somebody you know that's struggling and hurting and putting everything up, shutting the television off and the Facebook off and getting along with God and say, "Sister so-and-so's in trouble. They got troubled kids. And God, I'm going to be on my face until they get right." Nobody's punching the clock in prayer.
Right.
60 people. If you spent 1 minute a day, you'd spend an hour in prayer for 60 people. It'd be 1 minute per person. Right? Right? Am I doing the math right, Brother Ireland?
Yes, sir.
You ever try to pray for somebody for 1 minute? Challenge them. 1 minute, just pray for them. You know what we do? God bless Cliff and Linda Taylor and move on. How long do I pray for Cliff and Linda Taylor? And God bless Craig Cobb and Bruce Tammy Ireland. How long do I just pray? There's a lot of intercession in it. Huh? God touch America, bless America.
Good.
How long did I just pray for God to bless America? I went to prayer week down there at Mike Raglan's Living Waters Youth Camp, had a prayer meeting. I got down there, could pray all week, man. I'm going to learn how to pray. I pulled out my prayer list. In fact, most prayers just reading a piece of paper. We just read the names off it. We don't pray, we just read names. Right?
Good.
We just read names and call that prayer. We wonder what's wrong with our country and our churches. We just read prayer lists. And I got down there and I read my prayer list and I went through it. In 10 minutes, I'm done. And I got all week to pray now. I said, oh, don't. I said, man, it's going to be a long week. And I said, no, let me start all over. I got that list. And I said, Father, we'll just take Bruce. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I lift up Bruce Ireland to you tonight. And I'm asking you to touch that dear man of God and his family. And I'm asking you, Lord, as he's passing that little old church over there to you, to do with power and fill with power, you touch that old man of God, Lord, that he'd have your mind to be able to teach and instruct those men and raise his family, Lord. I pray you touch his boys. I pray you touch his grandchildren. Lord, I pray you help Miss Tammy. She's got some health issues. And God, I'm asking you to reach down and give them doctors wisdom and help them. Help her to find a nutrition solution. God, help her with the needs that she needs. God, those people need the touch of the power of God. And I'm begging you to do something mighty in that life.
Amen. Yep. That's good.
Next. Craig Cobb. Next. Cliff and Linda. Next. And you spend time on each individual.
Amen.
And you love and adore them. I don't care if it's the same request for each person.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. And you learn to intercede for that individual. You learn to talk to God for that individual. You begin to ask God to give you a burden for that individual. You ask God to help you feel their pain that they're going through, that you can empathize with them. And all of a sudden you begin to start weeping and crying, and God breaks you for that individual because you truly entered into a session with God. Amen. Supplications, asking God for supplies. Prayers, just general asking, but intercession. That's where you're grabbing a hold of heaven and bringing heaven down to man. And that's where you're grabbing man and bringing God to them that they can be reconciled. And the reason we don't see much reconciliation is because we're not in the intercession and prayer closet taking somebody to God.
Amen.
It's one thing to go to men for God. It's another thing to go to God for men. Jack Hiles said this, somebody's got to know God. See what people are lacking in their faith.
Yep.
We know what's lacking. We share it. Sam Gibbs said, we don't send prayer requests. Or we don't gossip. We just trade prayer requests. Danny Hall said it like this. We'll sit back and gossip about Sister So-and-so in the house. Amen. Or at the church house. You know, Sister So-and-so, you know, she said this, she did this. Well, bless her little heart. And if we somehow can justify it when we say, bless their little hearts. If you talk to Jesus as much as you complain about everybody else, we'd probably have revival in America. If you cut young kids and learn how to talk to God and get alone with God, listen to my church in Louisiana. 16-year-old girl got right with God. She had trophies all over the place. She's winning these Bible quiz contests left and right. Catherine came down the aisle and everybody said, she's surrendered mission field. She took me by the head. She said, Brother Cliff, I'm lost. I gotta get saved. Catherine got saved. Later that night, Sarah got saved, a 12-year-old girl. Later, Seth and Joseph got saved. Amen. I didn't feel we ought to kill the service, but we killed the service. Next thing you know, something happened. Sarah and Catherine get on that altar during their services. And they begin to start praying. And then Billy Williams' dad came. He got right. Billy Williams is praying. And next thing you know, people are on the altar praying and people are getting saved. For 5 weeks, we see somebody saved every service. And I see that old gray-haired man stand up whose grandson got saved. He goes, I just turned in another. See, that's what's missing in our churches. That's what's missing in my churches. And I'm not sticking a feather in my cap right now, but I dedicated Friday nights to getting along with God in my church. And I spend my Friday nights when the world wants to party, the world wants to get high. My wife knows I go to that church and I get in there. And I've had a couple men come join me. Had a young man named Aaron Cole. God's all over that young man. He heard me say that and he said, can I come pray with you? I want to get in an old time prayer meeting. A young preacher. And he come over and we prayed. We prayed up to 1 o'clock in the morning, man. We'd go back and forth praying. He's crying, walking all over that church crying. I said, you preach? He said, yeah. I said, come preach for me. Somebody said, can he preach? I said, he can pray, man.
All right.
And Aaron comes now once a month and prays with me. Now I got another guy, drives a good distance. You're going to be with him next week. Comes on Friday nights, dedicated his time to come and pray. We pray. Amen. I had another guy I prayed with on the phone for years. 9 o'clock every Friday, we'd be interceding together. Got another guy that calls me 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock every Friday night to pray. You say, why? It's like a fever. It spreads.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
See, what are you saying? What's lacking in your faith today? You willing to put in some overtime? Listen, Jesus Christ has got a spiritual buffet for you. Whatever you need, he can meet it. But you may have to put in some overtime. You may have to pray night and day. You know people that's in trouble tonight. You may have to pray night and day. You may have to pray all night like Jesus did. Amen? It won't hurt you to stay up and walk and pray, drink a couple cups of coffee and pray and just get a hold of God until God comes through. Amen? That you can pray through and know you touched the throne and there ain't nothing sweeter than to see God answer your prayers, especially for people you don't think that can be saved.
Amen.
That's too wicked, too far gone. There's no hope for them. You're going to run them
off!
Right. But if you get alone with God, there ain't no telling. God can save that troubled person. Amen? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the people listening attentively. I don't know the needs today. People are lacking stuff. God, maybe they'd come and just cry out to you and get what they're lacking, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the people that they know that's lacking things, that we'd put a purpose in our heart to put in overtime and get in a hold of people. For thy glory and for thy honor, now bless the rest of the service in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hello, Mark. Thank you very much. God bless you. Let me just do something real quick. We got about 100 people there. This, you know, I'm a preacher, my vanity. What? Only 60? What are you trying to say? That's on the recording. Hey. You know. All right. Do you want to shut this off and turn it back on? Where's my Katie? You gonna give me a bottle of water, sweetheart?